Lewis argued that true Christianity is true humanism, and true humanism is true Christianity. He agreed with Jacques Maritain on that. True humanism is true Christianity. Now, how was he going to defend that? How was he going to bring back those old stock responses? Well, Lewis had a threefold program, and I think it was a fairly conscious program on his part. Number one, Lewis sought to rehabilitate, and that's his word, he sought to rehabilitate, in all of his work, the values of old Western poetry. In other words, in his work, he wanted to bring back those virtues and embody them. And we're going to see this in the second half of this course when we look at his fiction. Number two, Lewis sought to create in his fiction worlds where these values still exist. Narnia, in the Chronicles of Narnia, is really a medieval place. And Lewis, when you read Narnia, you get a sense of what it means to live in an era that has stock responses to certain things. Finally, he fought at Oxford for the traditional medieval curriculum. And by the way, he fought alongside J.R.R. Tolkien in trying to keep the original medieval curriculum going at Oxford. Finally, just as Lewis fought for fairness in our assessment of the medieval heritage, just so Lewis fought for fairness in the criticism of individual works and genres. Employing what I like to call, after Coleridge, genial criticism, Lewis insisted that critics who despise a certain genre should not judge works in that genre. In other words, only somebody who loves science fiction and understands its conventions and what science fiction tries to do is really able to criticize it. Because only that person is going to know when the conventions are well used or misused. If you hate science fiction, I can give you the best science fiction novel ever written and you're not going to like it. See, we've got to be fair. We've got to be genial. You know what the best example of this is today, though? Is movie critics. You've all heard movie critics that attack a comedy not because it's bad, but because they don't like comedy. Well, if they don't like comedies, then just don't say anything. It's just not fair. Lewis said, if you're going to argue, if you're going to criticize something, you better at least like it or try to understand its conventions. Here's a good example. What good is a critic who ridicules Alice in Wonderland for the two-dimensionality of its heroine? Anybody that knows anything about fairy tales, that's a stock convention. You want a two-dimensional character because you want a simple cardboard character that we can identify with so we can get her reactions to this strange world. And when they accuse it of being two-dimensional, that only shows they don't understand the genre of children's literature and just probably don't like it. So they would best just not to say anything. It's not Alice the critic hates, it's the genre of fantasy that he hates. Now, to help rectify the ungenial criticism of children's literature that was rampant in his age, Lewis wrote many essays that helped lay down criteria for judging such works and for grouping them into subgenres. He did a lot of sort of grunt work, if you will. He did this for science fiction, too. He wrote some essays where he said there are six basic subgenres of science fiction, and he lays them out for us. It's a very good, there's a collection of essays called On Stories you may want to buy that has all of these essays collected together. Lewis, and I said this in the first lecture, let me say it again. Those of you that love science fiction and children's literature owe a little bit of a debt to C.S. Lewis because he helped raise the reputation of those genres. Genres that, to quote J.R.R. Tolkien, had been relegated to the nursery and no adult was supposed to read them anymore. If you're an adult reading a fairy tale, you have, in part, C.S. Lewis to thank. Finally, as a sort of corollary to his genial criticism, Lewis also fought against what American new critics like Cleanth Brooks called the intentional fallacy. What is that? That is the tendency to evaluate a work of art solely on the basis of the personality of its author. Many of you probably have friends who, if they want to understand poetry, run out and get a biography of Wordsworth or Shelley and read it and think, therefore, they'll understand the poetry. Well, the new critic said, no, that's the intentional fallacy. Lewis called it the personal heresy. He said, works of literature should be judged on their own merits in accordance with their own genre. They should not be judged on the life of the writer. And by the way, one of the reasons I have spent so little time on Lewis's biography and so much time on his work itself is because I think that's what C.S. Lewis would want. He would say, don't worry about my life and times. analyze my fiction or my nonfiction as fiction and nonfiction. That's the only kind of genial criticism.